No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, and we are at the Helio Expo. Right? Did I say it right?
No, as usual, you screwed it up.
Well, what did he say?
It's the Heli Expo.
Okay, hella yeah. Right, exactly. So it's in our backyard. We're in Orlando, Florida. And this event kind of bounces between here and, what, Vegas every year, every other year kind of thing. And so we figured, why not come out here and see what's going on with all these helicopters? And we have Dennis from Nordstrom, right? See, I'm not getting anything. Ed, you're supposed to jump in and correct me. Dennis, welcome, and I apologize in advance.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here, Greg.
All right. So you guys are exhibiting here at the Heli Expo. And is this the event where you would debut a new model of helicopter that you guys offer, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the Super Bowl or the Daytona 500 for the helicopter industry. And if you're going to show something new, this is where you want to be. And so we actually are showing something new here. We brought our a new model helicopter we're developing, the TH-180.
TH-180, and is this a trainer, like someone at a flight school like Ed has with Flight Training Professionals they'd use to train potential helicopter pilots, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a light two-place piston-powered helicopter. Trying to keep it as inexpensive as possible for the flight schools, and that's really what our target market is flight training or maybe private owners. You know, guys who just want a helicopter for tooling around.
Yeah, well, I'm interested. Okay, because I'm a perpetual flight student in training. Okay, as Ed is my flight instructor, I've been in training for well over a year now. We'll just leave it at that. And I've kind of gotten derailed on my flight training, but I walk around the show and I see all these helicopters and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I haven't really looked at helicopters as an option, honestly, because I was thinking more of trying to fly over to the Caribbean and stuff. But I see some of these helicopters are doing like 140, 50 knots, and the fuel burn is comparable to a fixed wing plane. Am I wrong? Am I reading something wrong, or is that actually accurate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the capabilities of modern helicopters, they've really come a long way from the days of, you know, MASH and the old Bell 47s and stretchers hanging outside. You know, you've got aircraft that can go hundreds of miles and, you know, comfort rivaling, you know, a biz jet. You know, good speeds, excellent payloads, and the costs are coming down every day. Now, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and lie and tell you can fly one for the same price as a 172, but the costs are coming down to the point, you know, where they're becoming much more affordable.
Yeah, and what about fuel burn? A comparable load and passenger space? Are we talking a much different ratio of fuel burn compared to a fixed wing, or what?
Well, you're going to burn more fuel because, you know, you got to pick it straight up. Whatever load you put in it, you got to pick it straight up.
So, well, and you get a better view. So you're paying for the view, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if you try to do, you know, your seat cost per mile and whatnot, a fixed wing's usually going to beat it. But, you know, when you start looking at door-to-door and you know, things like storage, you can store a helicopter at your house. You know, you can't unless,
true.
Unless you're
lucky. You don't need a runway.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, you start looking at some of those other costs and you know, your total overall operation costs, you know, can actually, you know, start to come together.
Now, before we started recording, Dennis said he was a fixed-wing pilot because we said, look, we're going to ask a lot of dumb questions. That's just what we do here at Just Plane Radio. But you can relate from that standpoint because Ed, in particular, you know, they have this flight school here in Orlando. They teach flying to people like me. And Ed won't get in a helicopter because he's afraid that he will like it.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. I'm afraid I would like it so much I would have to go do it.
Yes.
And right now I'm trying to put a kid to college, so it's not in the cards.
He doesn't want to be tempted. Do you get that kind of approach from potential customers like this, or is he a little odd?
It is incredibly addicting. And, I mean, it really is. And you know, I came from the fixed wing side. I'm a private airplane pilot. I actually grew up on an airport, you know, flying antique biplanes and tail draggers and stuff like that. And, boy, the first time I got in a helicopter, it was eye-opening. It was so cool to be able to just pick up and hover around and just leave for wherever we wanted. And the view is tremendous. You know, my whole life, I was used to having an engine and a prop in front of me and just, right. you know, looking left and right for what I wanted to see. And to be able to just look straight down and straight in front of me and have that amazing view, it really is a neat drug.
Yeah, well, when you look at the, you know, these craft walking around the show, yeah, the windows are huge. And a lot of times they do have windows even down by your feet and everything. And the field of vision is quite impressive. And I haven't rode in a helicopter either. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be tempted. I'm not afraid, period. You know, he's using this excuse of like, you know, I don't want to be tempted. We know he's like a nervous wreck. But, you know, that's just Ed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Challenge is on. But, yeah. Hey, actually, I had some questions about the TH-180.
Yes,
being
sir.
A trainer, piston engine, right?
Yes.
What size engine?
We're using the Lycoming HIO 390A1A. Mm-hmm. This is actually the first helicopter application for the 390. So we're working with Lycoming on doing the helicopter certification for it. You know, we've been using Lycoming engines since, 1965. We have a real long history with Lycoming. They have a long history with us. But when we went with the TH-180, you know, we needed a little more power than we could get out of the 360. And, you know, me, kind of going back to my fixed wing days, we have a 390 in our airplane. I knew myself how great the engine was, and we talked with Lycoming and realized that, hey, this thing could be a really viable power plant. And they were amenable to doing the helicopter cert, so we're going to put in a TH-180. It's so far, it's been a fantastic performing little engine.
Cool. What is the cost on, or do you have a cost projections on what they're going to be for flight schools as far as getting into one for training?
You know, we're shooting at a price point. We're trying to stay under $400,000, which, you know, if you've gone to buy a new airplane these days, that's about what they're running, you know.
And 172, $400,000.
Yep, right. And so, you know, we're actually, people sort of think as helicopters, oh my God, they're so expensive. But yeah, it's comparable to a new 172. So we're trying to stay under $400,000. We're targeting operating costs about $175 an hour.
Okay, that's within reason.
Yeah, I think that makes good sense.
Now, are you guys working this potential new technology with diesel or hybrid type engines and that kind of thing eventually too, or is that down the road and as far as the helicopters are concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're always looking for that next thing. You know, we're always looking for an edge, and diesel especially is going to be something that is going to be real popular going forward. Most of our market, believe it or not, is international, and the rest of the world has issues with avgas, and so, you know, we're getting a lot of pressure to do a alternative fuel helicopter. Right now, helicopters are much more dependent on power to weight than even an airplane. And so diesel engines are just now getting to the point where the power to weight ratio is there that they'll be viable in a helicopter.
So do you get more lift capacity with a helicopter or a cargo versus a fixed wing, or not necessarily? It just depends.
Well, like I said, you know, everything in a helicopter has to be picked straight up. And so
it's much more power.
Yeah, we can't fly it on the wing.
What about the difference between flying a helicopter versus a fixed wing? Since you've done both, how would you? I've heard this story that they are like night and day. It's apples and oranges. It doesn't help you if you're a fixed wing pilot as far as learning to fly a helicopter. Is that true from your perspective, or what?
Well, first of all, a pilot is a pilot. Okay, and as we all know, there's so much more to flying than just holding the stick. And there's flight planning, there's weather, there's talking on the radio, all those things. And all those things carry over whether you're an airplane pilot learning to fly helicopters or a helicopter pilot learning to fly airplanes. You know, you master those things, and now you're just learning how to operate the aircraft. So really that's what you're talking about, is the difference in operating the aircraft. And they are different, you know, I'll give you that, but it's really, people always say, oh, it must be so hard to fly a helicopter. And the dirty little secret is, you know, those first couple hours learning to hover, it's, you know, it's kind of like standing on a beach ball and rubbing your belly, you know. But once you get that basic motor skill down, it's not that hard.
Okay. Right. Well, for an older guy like myself, when I had to learn the flare on my flight training, that was a challenge. And I compared it to like riding a bike. When I was a kid, trying to get the balance right. Is that similar? Is that how you would look at it maybe too?
Exactly. You know, once you sort of get over that initial hump, and you get those motor skills, you know, you're not going to be, you know, hovering on a pinpoint, but you'll be able to drive it around. And now's where the fun part comes in, because the thing with helicopters is they're not necessarily harder to fly, but they are more complicated. So in an airplane where you might only have, you know, one or two different ways you can land, at a helicopter you've got four or five different types of approaches and landings you can make. And so the fun part about helicopter training is learning how to do all those different things that helicopters can do. Landing in confined areas, pinnacle landings, running takeoffs, you know, landing and taking off on slopes, all those different things. And that's where the you have extra complication, but it's also a lot of fun to learn all those different tricks.
I'm sold. So, Ed, pull out your credit card. Let's buy one.
No, your credit card.
No. I'm holding the microphone. You do your duty. All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it very much for helping us out on Just Plane Radio today. And we got more coming up from the Heli Expo next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes!
Come on and fly!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed at the Heli Expo.
Heli Expo.
Right. That's hell yeah. Something like that. This is an amazing event right here in our backyard of Orlando, Florida. And I've probably, you know, we've stopped off at probably the biggest display here at the Expo, I'm guessing. Bell Helicopters. This is impressive.
Yeah, it is. They've got a lot of product out here. And the one we're looking at and interested in here is the Bell 505, which is one of their newest entries into the market. They just announced it last year. And it's a little bit more our size. It's not like the big 525 sitting over there, although I know you've been eyeing that up.
Yeah. How many seats does that have in it?
16 plus two crew.
Okay, we got David here from Bell Helicopter helping us out. So, so 16. So this is basically the same helicopter. You'll see Trump fly around New York or something. Is that it?
The more likely thing is you'll see Arab sheiks, or you'll see presidents, heads of state. You'll see a lot of oil and gas workers, people working for a living on a rig. You know, that's sort of the key market for those aircraft, you know.
I gotcha. Yeah, and a matter of fact, I was here at the presentation yesterday. You guys took a contract for five of them.
Yeah.
So what's the price tag on something like that? Can
so
you say?
It's not a public number yet, and it always comes down to the specific configuration. So in that aircraft, very important what you missionize and how you keep, get the aircraft to where it can perform all the various mission segments that it needs to do. So
all right, so for Trump it'd be like $20 million, for me it'd be like five.
Right Something like that. Yes,
exactly. Okay, but let's talk about this Bell 505, because
sure.
This is what Ed tells me would be like the the private pilot's great option, right?
Absolutely. It's really aimed at several segments. One of the most important ones is new pilots into a rotorcraft. And it's a turbine engine, so a very modern power plant. And it's got capabilities to really take you from, say, a fixed-wing operator that today hasn't experienced the wonder of rotorcraft and give them the opportunity to get into an aircraft for a low price. It's got low hourly maintenance, so it can be, for a training academy, they can manage to fund this on an hourly basis and really make a cost-effective trainer for, you know, a variety of new pilots. So it's a real advantage, and cost was the key design parameter for this aircraft. So we knew there were some specific things that were table stakes that had to be there. Latest in avionics, so the Garmin G1000 cockpit is fully integrated in the aircraft. We have a dual-channel engine FADEC that allows for, in this case, a much cleaner start, safer in a lot of that more austere environments. And all of those things, we believe, are now table stakes for turbine aircraft, and so you'll see that throughout our product line. In this case, it gives those new pilots the opportunity to fly a modern, sophisticated aircraft at a very low recurring price.
Yeah, and the capacity is pretty impressive. I mean, yeah. We got a five-seat aircraft here. Looks like there's plenty of space for extra cargo and stuff. And you can how much weight?
So you can carry 1,500 pounds of useful load. So you can fill it up with fuel, and you can put about 900 pounds of people in the front. That's a lot of payload for an aircraft of this size, and really gives you the capability to go long distances. You can fill the fuel tank, it's very large, gives you range in the range of 375 nautical miles for dry tank. So a pretty good example of a long-legged aircraft, you know, making those good long ferry flights across the country.
Well, I'm just thinking, why wouldn't you take something like this over the Bahamas from Orlando? Wouldn't this be a perfect thing?
Absolutely. In fact, we've got a number of operators who came and purchased aircraft today and over the days of the show that are private operators, that their primary use is taking them from one house to another. You know, their house in Miami area down to the Keys, or, you know, some of them have houses in the Northeast that travel out to Nantucket, you know, and so it's a great example of how this type of aircraft can just give them a transport model that works.
Absolutely. And as far as speed, how many knots can you tap out?
You can cruise at 125 knots. Max, never to exceed speed, is 135.
Hey, what do you think, Ed?
Oh, I think it's great. I'm really interested in the integration of the G1000, because we've been using the G1000 in the fixed wing area for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. and it's become the staple. It's a standard. And G1000, and I've done Beechcraft, I've done Cessna, I've done the Diamonds, and, you know, and it's only a minor difference in the engine parameters from one to the other. So knowing G1000 in our 172, quick, easy transition here.
Absolutely. And that's not lost on this market. You know, these operators, many of them own both fixed-wing assets and rotary-wing assets. So it's important that ability to transfer from one product to another. It's great for spare parts. It's great for their familiarity with Garmin for distributors. It's got a lot of really positive advantages for this segment of the market.
Now, when you're working on a craft like this, so what's the next step up after you fly this for a year or two, and you're like, what? You don't jump right to the 525, I'm guessing.
Correct. We just unveiled the 407 GXP, which is our next kind of the step up above the 505.
That's the one I heard that you guys sold like 200 of them yesterday.
Right. Yesterday we announced the biggest sale of a type we've ever had for Bell Helicopters, so a significant commercial accomplishment for the company. And the GXP is a 7-seat aircraft, so it's got a little bit more capability. It's got a higher horsepower engine, just a four-bladed rotor, so a little bit softer in terms of the comfort in the cabin, things that you might look for in a more, I'll say, luxurious ride, that sort of thing. So a real significant step up from an entry-level aircraft like the 505.
Okay, and then as far as the 505, That one is already available now, or what?
So we're taking letters of intent from customers, and we've exceeded 300 of those already, so which is obviously an outstanding accomplishment for a new product like this. We only unveiled it a year ago at this show, and so it's in just a year, 300-plus orders is outstanding. But we're taking those letters of intent, and we still have availability of aircraft in 2018, so that's the timeline for these aircraft.
So 2018, you can pick up one of these, start flying around from house to house. I'll fly to your house. You fly back, kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. Our yards aren't big enough to land one of these. I think we'd have to buy new houses to do that, too.
Yeah, well, how much do we got to lay down for the intent to buy?
So the price for these aircraft is $75,000 deposit, and the starting price for the aircraft, the base price in 2014 dollars, is $1.077 billion.
Wait, a billion?
Just over $1 million.
Oh, $1 million. I thought he said billion. I'm like, what? Hold on. Yeah, it's just
we'll take a million. We'll take a million.
Okay, got it.
Put that in perspective. A brand new G58 Baron, 1.4, I think, is what I've heard. So, it's less than a twin.
Yeah. Are you comparing the two markets, kind of thing, or splitting those?
Absolutely. Our sister company, Textron Aviation, has both the Hawker, the Beech, and the Cessna brands all that play a role in how we approach the aviation market. So it's an important consideration. In this case, we really want our customers to have a cost-effective product to enter rotorcraft. And that's, unfortunately, in the past, that's been a limiting thing in rotorcraft. To get an entry-level aircraft, sometimes it's upwards of $2 million or $3 million. So we want to make sure that they have an option for something much, much more cost-effective.
With all the other options you can put on it, can you kick it up to like $2 million? Can you literally double it that much?
Oh, it'd be tough, but if you put one of the latest generation high definition cameras, yeah, you can get close.
Okay. All right, which we would want that to spy on our neighbors.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so? Well, David, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you being on Just Plane Radio. Good luck to you, Bell Helicopter. 80 years in business, celebrating at the Hello Expo.
Heli Expo.
Yes, right here in Orlando, Florida. All right, more coming up.
Thanks, guys.
On Just Plane Radio, if we got to walk the aisles, we actually have seen some people we know from the aviation world, the fixed wing world. We're going to catch up with them here in just a bit on the big show and much, much more. Stick around.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We're at the Hella Expo, and we are having a good old time. And, we're running into people that I know from other industries. I do that scuba radio show thing that you've heard me ramble on about time and time again. And sure enough, I run into Christine from Spare Air. They make a cool little miniature dive tank that gives you a few breaths of air if you ever get into trouble or run out of air as a diver. But you got a product that actually is for the aviation market called the HEED, right, Christine?
Yes. Yeah, we call it the HEED 3, which stands for Helicopter Emergency Egress Device, but it also works for any small planes or a float plane. Anytime you're over water and, God forbid, you might have an accident where you need to ditch your aircraft, we use our small spare air, which we've renamed for HEED, and it gives you about 30 breaths to exit the aircraft and get to the surface should you need to.
Yeah, it should be in every pilot's ditch bag, right, Ed?
Yeah, actually, I think we've talked about that when you and Clay did that trip, you had one with you.
That's right.
And I think it's a great idea, and we do a Bahamas training course and take people over to the Bahamas all the time. And so it's like, we should probably include that in our information and say, maybe this is a good thing to get.
Yeah, and I was hanging here at our booth yesterday while she was having people come up and ask you about the product, and you're getting a lot of interest here in the aviation world, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, half the world is water, and if you're going any distance from one place to another, chances are you're going over water. And things happen. Nobody can guarantee that you're going to have no accidents happen to you anywhere in the world.
God forbid you go down over water, or even if you had a flight fire or something like that, having some air handy. I mean, you guys have a product for firefighters as well, I believe, right?
Yeah, smoke is an issue. Obviously, they say sometimes breathing in smoke is more dangerous than a lot of things that can happen to you, hurt your lungs. So having an air device could be really critical. Also, there's altitude issues sometimes with people going up high for a short period of time. You just need better air than the air that you could breathe at that altitude. So our product's really unique in that it's the smallest footprint, most compact, most affordable air system in the world. So we're used in a lot of different ways in a lot of different industries for a lot of different uses because we're the only ones doing this.
There you go. And just go to spareair.com. You get information on that product and the entire line. More coming up at the Heli Expo next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I could never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Clouds Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning on the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby.
Welcome back to Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We're at the Heli Expo. We're having a good time and talking to people, running into people that I know from other industries, which is kind of cool. But then, you know, you wander down the aisle. You never know who you're going to run into. Yesterday, I was hanging with Tom Haines from AOPA Live. And sure enough, I'm walking around and I'm like, hey, that lady looks familiar. And sure enough, it's her, like his partner in crime on AOPA Live, Melissa, who handles regulatory affairs for AOPA Live, or AOPA, I should say, right?
That's right. Government affairs and regulatory policy.
Yeah. So you're the one on there that Tom goes to when they need to know what's really happening with Congress and that kind of stuff, like, which is basically you're just there to tell them to stop everything. Is that it? The deal?
Stop or start, depending on what we want. But yes, so my day job is doing government affairs work and regulatory affairs and working the issues.
And I would imagine that keeps you very, very busy.
Extremely busy. I've done it for a lot of years, but it just keeps getting busier and busier.
Now, so the latest thing on the docket, and I'm sure the people here at the Heli Expo are concerned about this as well in some capacity, because there's a lot of pilots. And, I mean, I don't know if that third-class medical applies to helicopter pilots, does it, or no, or wouldn't?
Well, there's medical certification requirements for all pilots. So private pilots, certainly, across the board, the third-class medical matters.
Yeah.
And we have overwhelming support from the pilot community to do medical reform. And I'm happy to report that just last week we got some legislation introduced that if we get it passed, we'll do just that. It'll eliminate the third-class medical requirement for a big segment of the private pilot community. And it looks like it has pretty strong bipartisan support.
Yes, I got my email from AOPA, and this is just great timing to see her walking down the aisle, because it is important right now for all pilots listening to our show right now to let their legislators know that there's this new piece of legislation that they should support. Is that the deal?
That's the deal. In fact, go to our website and you can get more information, but we did do a call to action. Look on our website to see if your congressman is already supporting the bill. If they are, send them a thank you. If they're not, contact your
congressman. Hey, what the hell's wrong with you?
Tell them to get on board. Yeah. So either thank them or tell them they need to get on board.
Okay, and this legislation basically does what again?
So with the if it passes as written, it would allow you to fly without a third-class medical as a private pilot, VFR and IFR, below 14,000 feet, 250 knots or less, 6,000 pounds or less, up to 6 seats in the airplane.
Okay, that's me. And see, I am a perpetual flight student. Ed is my flight instructor, by the way, Melissa. And you know, I've kind of got derailed a little bit on my training, distracted, okay? So I haven't gotten back in the pilot seat here for a while now. And I'm almost wondering if I had to wait till this third-class medical thing gets cleared and then do it. But it's still going to take a while, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Well, if the legislation passes, it'll literally be within 180 days of passage of the legislation. If we can get the FAA to act sooner. The FAA route will take a little bit longer because there's rulemaking process, but we're hopeful that with it by the end of the year we have a solution.
Okay, so this process is going to be much quicker. We don't have to deal with the FAA if this legislation gets passed. So what are the odds? What are they saying in Vegas?
Well, I don't think I want to predict odds other than to say that it has strong support.
Well, we have that caucus in Congress, right? So are they all supporting this as well or what?
We have the GA caucus. Now, we can't tell members how to vote. So while they support the
caucus... Oh, sure we can. They're working for us.
We can't force them out of it to vote. But the beauty of the caucus is by signing up for the caucus, they agree that GA's general aviation is important and that they're going to take the time to learn the issues. And we have a lot of caucus members already on board. We want to get all of the caucus members on board.
Yeah. Now, you're on the front line of this. So are you getting any negative reaction from anybody when it comes to this kind of stuff? I mean, is there concern just like, well, we don't want pilots getting up in the air and having a heart attack or something that could have been foreseen? Are you getting any of that kind of gloom and doom type of approach to this thing or what?
Not in any significant way. Of course, there's always going to be detractors to any new idea, but we have tons of AMEs on board. We've got the former head of the FAA Aeromedical branch on board, and we think it's a lack of understanding of what we're asking for and a lack of understanding of what the risk factors are and accident causal factors. It's out of ignorance, not understanding that this is not going to move the safety needle in the wrong direction in any way.
So they got 180 days to get this done.
Well, no, the legislative session. My understanding is if the FAA hasn't acted within 180 days after the legislation passes, it automatically becomes law.
I gotcha. Okay. So we can only hope that something will happen in this next legislative session. And of course, they can watch AOPA live and stay up to date. And we'll try to watch that and share it with our listeners as well, right?
We will be updating you as soon as the news needs updating.
Now, what else is on your radar? I know that's not the only thing you deal with. It just is getting a lot of news because it's at the forefront of the aviation world as far as legislative affairs. But is there some other things kind of out there that you're really trying to monitor right now as well or keep at bay or what?
There are a lot of things going on. The reason I'm at Heli Expo is unmanned systems, so unmanned helicopters. And we had a session this morning where we talked about it. So unmanned vehicles is a hot topic. Of course, next.
I can't believe that.
Well, you got to understand, Greg, every week has at least one drone story, so I want to change the name of the program to just Drone Radio.
Yes.
And then I have my drone groan. Greg's talking about drones again.
Are you getting bored dealing with UAVs and third-class medical stories?
Bored is not a word I'd use. There are other words I would use, but not bored.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's definitely keeping you busy, for sure, because it is. It's top of mind of everything. Matter of fact, we got an email from a listener this week that was, trying to tap back some of my comments that I had made about my concerns about these UAVs, because not only have I not done my training lately, but I hear that there's all these drones flying around, like they're going to fly into me when I'm trying to fly my plane. And that is a real concern for a lot of folks right now, right?
It is, and we're concerned about it. There's a number of things happening, though, to address that. There's a campaign called Know Before You Fly that we just signed on to, and the idea is there's two problems. There's education and there's enforcement.
Right.
So we got to educate the folks that are flying these that have not touched aviation and make sure they understand what the risks are and what the rules are. And then, of course, if we do have some rogue operators, we want to have the FAA to have the ability to enforce the regulations so that we can preserve safety.
Yes. Well, and I think that's what the email was. And we'll talk about this on a future episode of the show. But I think he was saying that, look, we have a program in place that we're trying to educate the public so they know what they're not supposed to do to, avoid conflict with private pilots and that kind of thing. But once again, how do you explain that to a 10-year-old or something that got one for his birthday or something? That's my concern. Is that what you see as a potential problem too or what?
It is. And one of the cool things, the Know Before You Fly is undertaken by the Unmanned Vehicle Association International. And one of the things that they're doing is we're working with manufacturers of drones to put guidance in the packaging on Know Before You Fly in a very prominent way. And some manufacturers are signing on to that. So that means when Johnny gets his drone delivered by Amazon to his front door, there's going to be prominent packaging directing them to guidance on how to operate safely.
Yeah, and that's a great step.
Yeah.
It's one of many, but yeah, that's definitely a step in the right direction. And look, I don't want them not to make these drones. I want one. They look like they're a blast. Have you flown one of these yourself?
I have.
Do you feel as that's a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest, believe it or not. I flew a quadricopter.
You did?
I did it last year out in the New Mexico desert.
Did you fly it into a tree like everyone else does on their first try?
No trees in the desert. I have to tell you, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I had kind of that fixed wing bias, and this is not really flying. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun.
Yes. Well, you can spy on your neighbors and do all the things. Well, all those things you're not supposed to. But they look like a lot of fun. You can get some great shots for video and pictures. So I definitely see the appeal. I don't want to knock them out of the sky at all. But we got to figure out some solution, and that's what AOP is leading the charge on. Anything else on your radar, or is that enough on your plate for now?
That's enough probably for today, unless you have a topic.
Well, no, that's all we talk about, too, is drones and third-class medical. So eventually these issues will resolve themselves. But once again, if you are not participating with AOPA, this is why you need to, because they are kind of our front line of defense from these legislators. Are they as smart or stupid as we all think they are, or what?
So I'm going to sign.
No comment, okay.
Yeah, no, I won't be like a legislator. I will comment. There are some really good folks in Congress, some really AOPA members. And members.
And there's others that you kind of go, wow, they really do exist.
We prefer to align ourselves with our friends.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us on Just Plain Radio, and we'll look for you on the next AOPA Live with Tom Haynes.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was pretty cool. But you know what? We're getting ready to approach the queen of the show. No, I'm not talking about Ed. You know, queen of show, biggest plane, helicopter, whatever you want to call it. I found something earlier in the day that we're going to chat to a test pilot that flies this amazing flying machine. They're going to hear all about it as we continue our broadcast from the Heli Expo right here in Orlando, Florida, next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like the spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Let's spike with pain.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We're at the Heli Expo. We're having a ball. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you know, like boat shows across the country that I've covered, but I think we're at the queen of the show or the king of the show. That's what they call like the biggest and most impressive boat on the show floor. Are you with me on this, Ed?
I agree. This is definitely the most interesting thing that I've seen today.
We're at the Augusta Westland Pavilion, because this isn't a booth. This is more of an island nation. It's so huge. But they have this thing, this turboprop vertical flying machine, and Dan is here to tell us about it. Dan, you're a test pilot first, right?
Yes, I am.
And this is the AW609 tilt rotor, which is it's like a mini Osprey or something. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. We carry 9 passengers versus the Osprey's 23, and we weigh about 17,000 pounds versus the Osprey's 57,000 pounds. But many of our design features are very much like the Osprey, and we have a kind of a similar mission, the idea of being able to land and take off from any helipad anywhere and yet still go very high, go very fast, and you go over the weather, over the mountains, whatever it takes.
This is one of the coolest looking flying vehicles I've ever seen. I mean, I thought the Osprey was impressive when we saw the Sun and Fun fly last year, right?
Well, yeah, but I saw this take off out of Executive before they brought it down here for to put in the convention center. I was like, wow, that's a tilt rotor. Wait a minute, that's not an Osprey. That's a corporate version. And so I it stopped what it was doing the other day to watch you go.
Yeah, I'm guessing you get that a lot. Am I right, Dan?
We've actually seen cars stop on the highway when we're flying. So
it's a UFO!
Last year we were at HAI in Anaheim and we were flying out of Angel Stadium parking lot, and we had people stopping on the highway to look at us down into the parking lot there. We even had a motorcycle policeman drive his motorcycle into the helipad area to come see us, and so we actually set up where we had took a picture of him giving us a parking ticket.
Very nice. Very nice. So obviously it's a conversation piece at the bare minimum. But this plane made by Augusta Westland is not available yet, or are they taking orders for it yet, or what?
Right, we are taking orders. What we take right now is people will buy a commitment for us to sell them an airplane. So they're not putting money down on the aircraft, but they're buying the right to buy tail number whatever.
Right.
So, but right now we're hoping to get certification by 2018, and we should be selling the aircraft by that point. We have a lot of interest from the oil and gas industry, a lot of interest from VIP type operations, and then we have interest in our search and rescue bird, and we even recently got interest from the U.S. Coast Guard on that. So it's a tremendous search and rescue platform, because you could search at 200 plus knots, and then rather than call a helicopter, you can stop and pick them up yourself.
Wow, that is impressive. Yeah, and I guess the fact that they're not out there and certified till 2018, that's why you are a quote-unquote test pilot, or what? Because you're flying this thing yourself now, right?
Right, but we're collecting data on it for FAA certification. So, I mean, the FAA isn't going to let you sell something, especially something that carries passengers, for money that's not safe. And it has to be proven. And in being the first in category, the first ever tilt rotor to be FAA certified, really carries kind of a burden of being first in type. The FAA is a lot more cautious. So there's a lot of testing that goes on to prove to the FAA that it's a safe aircraft, and that's what they care about. The FAA doesn't care if you make a dime of money. You know, what they care about is that you're safe. And so there's a lot of effort that goes to proving that safety.
Yes, well, I'm sure it does. But I would imagine the cool factor for you personally is just off the charts. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, I love it. We get to do things. We've done things in this tilt rotor that the V-22 never did. We actually went from airplane mode to helicopter mode with our engines back at idle. So we went from a 12-ton glider to an auto-rotating helicopter, and we did that something like 43 times. And we collected a lot of data, and we showed the V-22 has never done it because I don't think they can do it, and we showed that we could do it. So in the incredibly unlikely event of a dual engine failure, say if you had bad gas or tremendous icing, this aircraft can convert from airplane mode into helicopter mode and do a safe touchdown auto-rotation just like any other helicopter can.
That is crazy. Crazy fun. I mean, I think I found a new plane I want, Ed.
Oh, well, get your checkbook out.
Because we've been talking about, maybe I need to make the jump into helicopters. This would be a nice little cross between the two, right?
Right, it would. It could do anything a helicopter can do, and it can do anything that a twin turboprop business aircraft can do. So you get the best of both worlds, and you get all the capabilities.
And as far as ease of flying, you were telling me earlier when we set up this little chat that the maneuverability and just the learning curve on this is just pretty amazing as well. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We have helicopter-like controls. So we have a collective, and we have a center stick, and we have pedals just like every other helicopter out there. And that's because when you're in the critical modes of flight, takeoff and landing, you are a helicopter. And so by having helicopter controls, any helicopter pilot can get in this thing and fly it right away. And the only difference is controlling the nacelles, and we have a thumb wheel on the collective grip, which controls the nacelles. And it doesn't take long at all to learn that when you want to go faster, you rotate the nacelles forward, and when you want to go slower, you rotate them aft. So instead of using longitudinal stick for those things, you're just using the nacelles, and it's just a transition to your thumb becoming trained to control your speed.
Yeah, and all the kids today are going to be, this is going to be the thing, because they were doing this on their Xboxes for the last God knows how many years, so this will be like second nature to them. But it's still, for some schmo like me, old dog, new trick, I could learn this even.
I learned to do it when I was 50 years old, so yes, anybody can learn it.
It's hope. Just a tiny glimmer. The door is cracked open for me. I love this. And you think this is the future of aviation, period? What's your personal thoughts?
I think that if we sell a few, we'll sell a lot. I think that once it gets out there and it starts operating and people see what it can do, that a lot of people will want one. I think in certain applications like search and rescue, oil and gas are getting farther and farther offshore. We can get out there in an hour. It won't take us 2 hours to get out there. We can get out there in an hour. And if it's bad weather, we go above the weather because we can go to 25,000 feet. So I think that once we sell a few of them and people start seeing what's going on, I think there's a lot of people that are going to be interested.
Well, very good. Ed, get out your credit card one more time, and that'll finish up for today's big show from the Heli Expo. Until next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
That was awesome. You guys are great. That was really fun.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
They're just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.